91.3 KXCI Tucson. Real people, real radio. Hello, Tucson. Thanks for joining us today at 91.3 KXCI Tucson. This is Kathy Harris with my co-host, Aspen Green, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. You can hear more of our shows on our Broad Perspectives podcast page at kxci.org. And today, we are thrilled to have another one of Tucson's dynamic women who brings her many talents and energy to our community. Hillary von Alsberg from the Children's Museum, Tucson Oro Valley, is here, and I'm looking forward to what she has to share with us. So, Aspen, tell us more about Hillary.
Okay, I will. I'm so excited about having Hillary von Alsberg on our show today. She serves as the executive director at Children's Museum Tucson Oro Valley, where interactive, accessible learning is the core mission. She holds a Juris Doctorate degree from the University of Arizona College of Law and a BA in Sociology from Northern Arizona University, as well as having an earned state certification as a K-12 educator. Hillary serves on the board of directors of the Association of Children's Museums, Visit Tucson, and Downtown Tucson Partnership. Hillary served as a fellow with the Public Voices Op-Ed Project and was honored as the Association of Fundraising Professionals Fundraising Executive of the Year for Southern Arizona. A native Arizonan, Hillary is active in community organizations focused on education, serving on committees including the United Way of Southern Arizona's first focus on kids, and the Institute of Museum and Library Sciences Information Literary Initiative. In her role as executive director at the Children's Museum, she is leading the organization through a period of growth with a $15 million expansion to allow the museum to continue serving as a trusted educational resource for future generations. Welcome to our show. How exciting it is for us to have you here today. You do a lot. We love to know where our guests come from. And you say you're a native Arizonan. You didn't say you were a native Tucsonan. Where did you grow up?
I was actually born in Flagstaff and lived there for my first 5 years. We moved around a bunch when my parents were in dental school. And then we ended up back in Phoenix through high school. And then I went back to Flagstaff for NAU for undergrad. And then I moved to Tucson in 1992 for law school.
Okay, so you didn't follow your parents' path in career. Is there someone in your early life that influenced you or was your mentor in your career direction?
Oh boy, there were so many mentors. Of course, my mom was a trailblazer, entering the dental profession as a dentist in the early 70s. She was often the only woman in her dental school class, and she was breaking glass ceilings right from the very beginning and was really a model of professional and the kind of person that I wanted to have with work-life balance. Along the way, there were so many people who helped me be fearless in making changes in my career and making leaps into new areas. You don't get far unless you are helping each other. And I have a lot of people along the path that have helped me do that.
Well, since 2019, you have overseen the Children's Museum's operations, but it's not your first venture in working with nonprofit organizations. Do you feel that your work with the Humane Society, the U of A Libraries, Downtown Tucson Partnership gave you the tools you needed to become the executive director of the Children's Museum?
Absolutely. I mean, I've had such a windy path. My career started as an attorney, practiced law for a few years, and ended up opening a store and ran my own business. Yes.
What kind of store, can I ask?
Sure, of course. It was called Territories. It was local art galleries, so lots of local art, home accessories and jewelry and handmade stuff.
That's not what I would have guessed. Yeah. I thought it would be a bookstore or something.
No, I had the opportunity to open that store and that ran for 10 years. And, you know, it's very hard to make it in retail. It became very clear that new opportunities were opening up around Tucson and I was going to shift directions. So what's the obvious thing to do is I became a preschool teacher.
Right. Sure. That's very obvious.
The normal path.
There's so many things you've done since, but let's talk about your current employment. I thought about you being the executive director, and that's a huge job, no doubt. What are the job responsibilities of an executive director of a children's museum?
Well, really, you're sort of the captain of the ship, and you're only as good as the whole team you put together. So we're an organization that has 43 staff members. Everyone has a different role, and everyone plays a part in making sure that the Children's Museum is open and accessible and welcoming for all families in our region. My role as executive director is to make sure that we're financially sustainable, that we have resource that is open and welcoming to the community, and that we're always growing.
You know, I cracked up when I saw your staff and board page because the staff are listed by your childhood photos, and you have to click them to know who they are. I wanted to know if you wanted to say anything specifically about anybody on your staff who's your support.
I mean, the childhood photos are fun because it speaks to the playfulness of our organization. We are rooted in play. Our mission is play. And whenever you get bogged down, of course, we're always writing grants and seeking financial support and working to make sure that the Children's Museum is safe and welcoming. But you've got to be able to laugh, and you've got to be able to just sort of remember that this is for the children. And we all have a playful side. Our leadership team could not be better. I am so lucky to have a team that is able to challenge me when I come up with crazy ideas or run with me when the crazy ideas are, maybe we could do that.
That's great. What is the mission and vision of the museum?
So the mission and vision of the Children's Museum Tucson and Oro Valley is to make sure that children and families have accessible, hands-on, interactive play. The goal is to make sure that families can reach their full potential by having a place to come that's a trusted educational resource that they get to come and play and really just focus on the kids. There are a lot of places that you can go with children that sort of say, oh, this is for kids too. You can do this with kids. We're an organization that's focused 100% on the children. And when you walk in the door, you know that. The kids know that.
I was talking with my daughter yesterday. We figured out 35 years ago, she had her 10th birthday party at the Children's Museum, and we went over exactly what she did, and she still has the VCR video of it.
I love that. That is right there, the quintessential moment, Aspen, of what is best about my job, because I cannot go anywhere in Tucson without someone saying, oh, I had my birthday, or oh, my children, I have the picture of them on the police motorcycle or in the fire truck or with the dinosaurs. That's the beauty of the Children's Museum, is that we're really important to generations of families.
Yeah, and believe it or not, my daughter still has a VCR player.
That's fabulous.
Because I was like, how am I going to ever see that again? She goes, Mom, I have a VCR player. Oh, of course you do. So let's talk about the two locations on South 6th Avenue and also in Oro Valley at Tohono O'Toole. I know the one downtown has been around since 1986. I remember it moving to the historic Carnegie Library in 1991. Can you talk about the expansion opportunity at the Evelyn Carswell Bing Building, which is adjacent to the current facility?
Oh, I'd like to talk about nothing more. This is the most exciting thing that's happened in the Children's Museum in quite some time. We had an opportunity to expand. We've known for many years that we really have reached our full capacity at the downtown locations. Even with creative calendaring, we found that we were having to turn people away for field trips and birthday parties and the things where it gets a little stuffy and a little crowded. And the experience was still fun. It was tight. So we've wanted to expand. We wanted to stay downtown. We've been downtown since 1991, and it is such a beautiful building, but it's a historic building. So we really didn't have the opportunity to add on another wing or put in another building next door. So we had actually started thinking, are we going to need to move to be able to keep serving the community, the growing population that we serve? And happily, a building came on the market just to the northwest of the downtown Carnegie Library, where the museum is located. So we purchased that building in 2023. We renovated it. We partnered with Sunt Construction and Swaim Architects and have spent 2 years making this building absolutely fabulous. What's great about it is we got a $1 million grant from Angel Charity for Children, and they helped us renovate the downstairs of the building to be all new program spaces. So we opened the Education Center in May of 2025 and haven't looked back. It has served the museum so, so well. So now we have the Evelyn Carswell Bing Building at the Children's Museum Tucson and the new Angel Charity for Children Education Center.
Well, of course, I have to ask you what new exhibits and programs are on the horizon with this new expansion.
Exactly. So exciting. So the program spaces have opened up a pinch point for the Children's Museum. If teachers would call by about January, we'd have to tell them previously, sorry, we're booked. We don't have enough space. Now we're able to accommodate anybody that wants to come for a field trip. So we can accommodate three times the number of program space, and we have the potential to serve so many more families. Our programs are bilingual, they're English and Spanish, they're focused on literacy, arts, and sciences. We really work for career readiness and school readiness. All the skills that kids will need to be successful in school and life come through in our programs. And what's exciting and coming next is this move to our program spaces has opened up space in the existing museum. So we're still in the same Carnegie Library downtown, and that's still where people go to have the museum experience. But the museum experience, that's what the capital campaign that we're currently in is for. We're going to be redesigning all of the exhibits. We're going to be adding a cafe and a gift shop and more restrooms, things that are going to make the museum much more user-friendly and have amenities that will open up the space to have better flow and just some more exciting stuff.
It sounds exciting. So, how do you involve or collaborate with schools and teachers and educators in your programming?
It's a big part of what we do. Actually, our education team is a really vital part of our organization, and we work with all the school districts throughout Southern Arizona. We do field trips. Over 10,000 people come to our field trips every year. So we partner with the schools. We make sure that Title I schools have the opportunity to come to the Children's Museum on a funded field trip so they don't have to pay. Field trips are usually the first thing that are cut from school budgets. And if you're a Title I school, that's just not something that's in your budget. So we
Right.
work with a lot of community supporters to make sure that this formative experience is available for all children. We pay for the chaperone, we pay for the bus, we pay to get them here. If for some reason they're not able to come, we will do outreach activity where our education team will come to you and do a program with your students at the school or at the community center where you are. And we do that throughout Southern Arizona. We love the schools and the families and teachers and educators that invite us from CELS and the Baba Kivri School District or Nogales and Bisbee and Douglas. I mean,
Yeah.
we travel.
I was
We make
going to
sure.
ask about if you worked with rural communities. That's great.
It's really important that they know this is their children's museum too.
So, can you talk a little bit about how you ensure accessibility and inclusion?
You bet. It is a huge part of our mission. This is the Children's Museum for all children, and it's very important that all families see themselves reflected in what we do and that they feel comfortable and that this is a space for them. So we work to reduce barriers. The biggest barrier often for accessing a museum is financial. So we offer the All Kids Play program, which if you are a family that is utilizing SNAP or WIC, the Women, Infant, and Children government food benefits, you can come to the Children's Museum any day of the year for $6 admission, which is half price admission. So a big discount that families have found and utilize every single day. We make sure that it's accessible. We also offer our Discovery Nights program, which is every Thursday evening from 5 till 7 p.m. The museum is just open for free. This helps bring in working families if you're not able to come in the normal 9 to 5 daytime hours of the museum. We've stretched our hours in the evening to make sure that it's open. That has become a very, very popular program, and families have found that. We also offer our My Time accessibility programs, so a low sensory time. Every weekday afternoon, you can come to the museum from 3 till 5 p.m. for half price. It's a low sensory time, so the flashing lights and sirens and things that make noises are turned down, and we have sensory experiences that are available for kids that just need a little extra, a little extra.
You've done a great job of covering all the different kinds of needs that different kids have. All right, so it is time for a music break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about how the organization is run and what your future goals are. So, Kathy.
Well, I'm so excited about our music break because I love this song and the group that sings it. The song, Hillary, that you chose is called The Littlest Birds Sing the Prettiest Songs, and it's by the Be Good Tanyas. You want to tell us a little bit about why you chose this song?
This song is just about my favorite song. I love everything about this song. It has meaning for me personally. Having raised six kids, it's really about the joy of having kids and happiness in your life. I love a song that's upbeat. I love a song that gets my toes tapping and doesn't drag me down. It lifts me up. And it also has great meaning for me as the director of a children's museum because the littlest birds do sing the prettiest songs.
Those are all great reasons, and it is a great song. And just a little information about the song, such an unusual name, the Be Good Tanyas. They're a three-piece band from Vancouver, Canada, who do country folk songs with a very bluegrassy sound to their work. I hadn't heard of them before. They're great. Their unusual name comes from an Obo Martin McCrory song about a gypsy man whose desire to sing and travel leads him to leave his love behind. As he departs, he exhorts her to be good, Tanya. Tanya, be good. Hence the name, Be Good Tanyas. And the song title, The Littlest Birds Sing the Prettiest Songs, comes from a book by artist Jenny Smith in which she collects and illustrates folk songs. While the book is named after this phrase, the phrase itself apparently is a common sentiment related to nature and music, and Jenny Smith used it as the title for her book to capture the essence of her artistic and musical work. Smith writes that, "My inherent love of nature has served as the source of inspiration for my drawings." So very cool. So now we know where the titles of the band and the song comes from. Let's listen to this delightful song, The Littlest Birds Sing the Prettiest Songs by the Be Good Tanyas from their album Blue Horse. 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I just love listening to this song. It makes me feel happy. And we're returning to our interview with Hilary von Alsberg, Executive Director at Children's Museum Tucson Oro Valley.
Yeah, that was a great song. I listened to it a few times before the show today. So you talked about some of the programs, and those who know me will know why I'm going to ask this because it caught my eye. The Rooted Heritage Garden.
It's actually the name of our overall outside outdoor space in the downtown location. The Rooted Heritage Garden really takes root in the concept that the Children's Museum is a gathering place for children and families. And once you're there, you know about us. I mean, a children's museum is something that families gravitate to. When you have little people, we are really important for a big chunk of childhood. There are so many other organizations that do cool things in our community that we want children and families to know about and have access to. We don't have to be the experts in everything because there are so many people doing great work and are experts in things already. So it connects to different storytelling pieces. It connects to nature. And there's QR codes throughout the courtyard that parents or caregivers can just scan a QR code and go, oh, I didn't know there was a cool thing going on at such and such. And it just links you to different organizations in our community that offer really cool things for kids as well.
It sounds like something I want to go to.
Exactly.
So what goes on at Tohono O'Toole?
Oh, we are so excited about that collaboration. So in 2015, the Children's Museum was invited by the town of Oro Valley to open up a satellite location, and we did, and it was great and beautiful and successful. It was pretty remote. It was pretty far up on Oracle Road. And so when we had the opportunity to collaborate in 2023 with Tohono O'Toole, we jumped at it. And they had a space that was available in their old education center. It had actually been the original haunted bookshop. And
oh my God, the haunted bookshop. My kids grew up in that store.
And such fond memories, right?
Oh, I mean, yes. Because you used to be able to just sit there and hang out and read your books, and they had all these children areas. It was wonderful. That was the saddest bookstore leaving for me.
I agree with you so much. You know, so many fond memories about being able to enjoy the botanical gardens and enjoy Tohono O'Toole and the walk and also welcome kids. So that was really the impetus for us collaborating. And we recognize that Tohono O'Toole is such a gem in our community. It's located right at Oracle and Ina. So it's a busy, busy hub that you get this nature oasis right there in the middle of a busy intersection. And it's a gigantic garden and they're so well respected and they have such a vision for bringing families together and expanding. They got a new executive director in 2022 who we collaborated with and said, our missions really do align. And if there's a way for us to welcome families and children and bring our community and share it with the botanical gardens, this seems like a really good fit. And we just hit the ground running and it's been such a success ever since.
The other day I was talking with a friend, where do we take people who come in from out of town? And Tohono O'Toole was like first or second on both of our lists.
Yeah, it is just everything.
It's everything. So over the next 5 to 10 years, what is your vision for the museum's evolution?
Oh, great question. We have set our path, we have a vision, and we are working very steadily toward that. The first step in our expansion plan has been to open up this new education center. And now that that pinch point has been opened, we have the opportunity to expand the exhibits. We have the opportunity to add amenities like the cafe and gift shop. We want to make sure that each and every guest that comes to the Children's Museum has a quality experience. And with Children's Museum, kids are hard on exhibits. So we need to update things pretty periodically. And our focus is on arts and STEM and literacy and really making sure that the early childhood education opportunities at the Children's Museum are foundational for kids. So we're going to be adding a water feature. We'll be adding a climber. We're making sure that the exhibits are updated and the whole museum will have a fresh new look.
I can't wait. I'm going to come down when it's all opened. How did you adapt to the changing ways children learn and play in the digital world?
What we focus on at the Children's Museum is we're screen free for pretty much. We know that technology is ever evolving and kids have it right there in their hands. Families, everyone has an iPhone and everyone is doing things on their screens. And if they don't have it at home, that they have it at school. And our goal is to make sure that we give kids the hands-on play and the interactive ability for their grown-ups who come with them to get down on the floor and do stuff and build stuff and experiment and create. And we've shifted entirely away from technology because it's just something that we don't even need. We need a break from it. And we have, the Tohono O'Toole location is a great example of kids come and get a nature bath. They actually get to be outdoors, and we focus on all of our programming is nature-based at that location. So we really intentionally steer away from anything to do with the screen.
I love it. I probably need to go there just to de-screen myself for a day. We've come to the end of our show, and we didn't get a chance really to talk about volunteers, but I wanted to mention that you do have volunteers, which is a great way for teens ages 15 and older to gain experience in a work environment or fulfill school required service hours. And for adults of any age, volunteering at the museum can be an opportunity to share knowledge or just hang out with the kids again. So just go to your website, childrensmuseumtucson.org, and go to the drop down menu under About Us, and you can just click on volunteer and find out more about it. You can apply right there. Well, Hilary Van Allsburg, thank you so much for being part of our show today. It sounds so exciting to me. The Children's Museum has been in my life forever since my kids were little, and I'm just so glad it still exists and more things are happening and you're expanding. So thank you again so much for being on our show.
It is such a joy. Thank you for having me.
Yes, and I'm afraid that is all the time that we have today. But I have to say, I need a nature bath. I love that. maybe that's a good song too. I could write a song about that.
I love
Okay,
it.
Hilary Van Allsburg, thank you again so much for being with us today and telling us about the Children's Museum, Tucson Oro Valley. It is truly a wonderful place. We are so fortunate to have it and you in our community. And thanks to all of you out there for being with us. You've been listening to Broad Perspectives Radio at 91.3 KXCI Tucson. This is Kathy Harris with Aspen Green, and you can hear more of our shows on our Broad Perspectives podcast page at kxci.org. But right now, stay tuned because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Enjoy your Sunday, and we'll see you next week.